I want to talk this morning about prayer. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21. 21st chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. I'm reading the 22nd verse. Jesus says, all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Does that register at all? All things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. That sounds pretty positive, doesn't it? Yes, sir. You shall receive. You will receive that. This is a promise from God. You say, well, I've prayed for a lot of things. I have too. Let's talk about it. Prayer. The word itself is translated almost the same in both the Hebrew and the Greek. In English, it translates to this about as well as anything. To humbly converse with a greater authority. To humbly converse, talk to, have a conversation with a greater authority. Or to petition one able to aid you in circumstances beyond your control. The situations we generally find in both testaments place the one praying emphasizing needs and not wants. This is very important. Needs and not wants. Which is in itself an interesting discovery. Both Matthew and Luke record the event of Jesus teaching his disciples about prayer. Teach us, they said, Lord, how to pray. Teach us how to pray. I think maybe we all need a lesson in that today. Teach us how to pray. And he outlines the model, notice the word, the model of properly conversing with the sovereign creator of the universe. Talking to God. Here's how you talk to God. And remember before, if you want to go to that passage and look at it on your own, before he gave them the model prayer, he said, stay away from vain repetitions. Didn't he? Just something to think about. Repeating the same thing over and over. Do you know that God knows what you need before you do? We find something interesting both in Matthew chapter 6 and Luke chapter 11, but I want us to read the Matthew reading this morning. So if you will, turn to Matthew chapter 6. I think it's far better to go to the Word itself than for me to stand up here and mutter stuff. Listen to what Jesus says. After this manner, therefore, pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. You know what we have done? Many of you will say, well, I don't like what the preacher's saying, but I'm going to say it anyway. If you want to be honest, we have made the model prayer a prayer of repetition. The very model prayer itself. Just talk to me, God said. I just want you to talk to me. That seems so simple. I want you to notice that Jesus insists in our text verse, Matthew. The most important key to scriptural prayer, we are to pray, Christ tells us, is to pray what? Believing. Pray, believing. Talk to God. Believing you're talking to the creator of the universe, who can do all things. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I think we'll be a little more careful with what we ask for if we realize this. I may be wrong. Pray believing. Believing what? Believing God. Amen? Believe in God's word. Written. Spoken. Living. Believing that the one who spoke everything into existence can do anything he wants to do. Anytime he wants to do it, and in any way that he wants to do it. You believe that? Anything and everything the way he wants it to be. We must pray believing that events take place according to God's timetable and not according to ours. We must pray realizing that God is building his church according to his plans and not according to ours. We must believe that in spite of these truths, our sovereign God, the eternal, all-powerful ruler of all that exists, in the spiritual, in the natural, in the physical realms, he has included sinners like you and me in his plans. Isn't that incredible? If you're a child of God, he has included you in his plan. You're part of his plan. Jesus makes his plan in his teachings. That's amazing. And he requires us to communicate with him, to honor him, to glorify him, and the plans he is making. We look at the world today with all the turmoil and the war, and holy man stops going on over there. It's according to God's plan.
Sure.
According to God's plan. Isn't it interesting? And you're hearing a lot of this now, but isn't it interesting where all this is concentrated and going on now?
Yeah,
sure. I wonder if that has anything to do with the old prophecies in the Old Testament. I just wonder, you know. Doesn't take a genius to see that, does it?
Yes, sir.
Listen once again to our text verse. All things, everything and anything you ask in prayer, and you ask believing, will come to pass. Wonder if we ask the right things. Do you ever think about that? An example of the many answered prayers in the Old Testament is found in 2 Chronicles. It's found in chapter 7, verse 4. 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. I'll go ahead and read it as you hunt for it, but I think I'd keep my finger in there. If my people, God says, this is something that every Christian in America ought to believe. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin. And listen, America, I will heal their land. I say, oh, that's Old Testament, preacher. My people, which are called by my name, are Christians today. Amen? This is speaking to the church today. Read the history of God's chosen people, the seed of Abraham, the race of promise. It's all recorded in the Old Testament. They sinned against God and they suffered. They repented and their land was healed. A new generation came along. They sinned against God and they suffered. They repented and the land was healed. God keeps his holy word. Man does not keep his. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
See it over and over and over again. It's recorded for us. We're to learn from it. It's God speaking to us through the written word. Trusting God. Repenting. Trusting God. Repenting. If this nation returns, the churches of this nation insist on talking with God, believing, instead of the second coming of Jesus Christ, which I feel maybe him, but that's me. Instead of that, it may be the greatest revival the world has ever seen. Do you believe that? Do you believe that could happen? It's happened before, over and over again. It's easy to get up and preach about the second coming. It's difficult to get them and preach how we ought to live before the second coming. People don't want to hear it. We may very well be in the last days spoken of in this Bible, or we may experience the greatest revival this world has ever seen. You see whose plan it is. Not ours. An example of the many answered prayers in the New Testament, and probably the final example I can make up, would be the thief on the cross. There he was, next to Jesus, and he realized finally who Jesus really was. He realized that he deserved to be on the cross, and Jesus did not. Amen? And he prayed, didn't he? He talked to God, didn't he? He said, remember me. When you come into your kingdom, remember. That's prayer. That's what we're talking about. And you know what Jesus said? Today. Today, you'll be with me. You believe God? There he was, nailed to a dying carpenter. He said, remember me. He prayed that prayer every sinner must pray, believing. I tell you that thief believed it. Confess, if you're here this morning, and you're not a Christian. I didn't say, you may be a church member. I'm talking about being a Christian.
That's right.
You may have been baptized. I'm not a living Christian.
That's right.
Confess. Confess that you need the Savior. That you're a sinner. You know, if you're here and you're lost, if you're not a Christian, I want you to know something. There's a sinner preaching to you right now. I'm a saved sinner, but I'm a sinner. And if you're a Christian, Born again Christian, you are a saved sinner. We're in the process, beloved. It's called sanctification. We're justified in the eyes of God, and He is sanctifying us as we approach the promised land. Believe it. Pray believing. You know, from the entrance of sin into this world of ours in that Genesis garden, through the Egyptian bondage, through the suffering under the Babylonian, Medo-Persian, Greek, Roman empires, the chosen people suffered when they forgot God's word and recovered when they believed over and over and over. It has been the same with the church. During the last 20 centuries, we learn very little, don't we? How this should point out to us today, beloved. The loving patience of the one who created us in His own image, and the love that He has for us when He came as the virgin son to die for us on that awful cross over 2,000 years ago. One day, my friends, God's patience will end. One day, it will be too late for prayer. How about you? Are you willing to talk with God? This wonderful book God has provided for us informs us of what God requires of us. The primary thing we have is recommended in our text this morning. Pray believing. Converse not with the priest or with the preacher, but with the Creator. Humbly ask Him for mercy. Turn from your sin. Pray to God believing. James reminds us in his book about the prayer of Elijah the prophet. James 5:17. I'll read it to you. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. He was a sinner too. Great, great prophet was a sinner, saved by believing in the coming Christ. And he come in. He believed. Coming, you see. And it says, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. He prayed believing earnestly that it might not, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Oh, I didn't stop there. Did he? No. He just asked God. And God did. According to the Bible. I want to read something to you. You've been patient. I appreciate it. Some of the great hymns say it better than anything. I want to read two of them. First of all, I want to read 401, excuse me. How long has it been since we sang this? Quite a while, I think, but we sing at the nursing home quite a bit. Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour. sweet hour of prayer. You call me from a world of care and bid me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, may I thy relation share till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height I view my home and take my flight. Goes on to say in the chorus, my soul was often found relieved and oft escaped the tempter's snare by that return. Sweet hour of prayer. Believe his word and trust his grace. I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee. Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. To seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. Amen. Well, needed anymore. And then, I believe, my beloved friends, when we get there, we won't need prayer. Amen? I want you to think about this. Face to face. Face to face with Christ, my Savior. Face to face, what will it be when with rapture I behold Jesus Christ who died for me? Only faintly now I see him with the darkling veil between, but a blessed day is coming when his glory shall be seen. What rejoicing in his presence when the banished grief and pain, when the crooked ways are straightened and dark things shall be plain, face to face, oh blessed morning, face to face to see and know, face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who loves me so. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him. Bye-bye. Prayer, believing today, and face to face, bye-bye. How thankful we should be for our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. I trust you each believe God's word with all my heart, and that you will be there with those of us who do believe on that glorious day that God promises for all.